Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
It wherever you go, the Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his mercy and tell of his love. Tell of his wonderful riches above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Luke 15, verse 11 through verse 32. You want to read that, Andy?
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of the substance that falleth to me. And he divided him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, a mighty famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have been filled with the husk that the swine did eat, and no one gave to him. But coming to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have loaves to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came unto his own father, and while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and pitied him, and ran, and fell upon his neck, and kissed him much. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But the father said to the bondman, bring forth quickly the best robe, and put it on him, and put a finger ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and make merry. For this my son was dead, and is revived, was lost, and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he told him, "Thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound." But he was angry and would not go in, and his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said as to his father, "Lo, these many years I slave it for you, and I never transgressed thy commandment, and never a kid gavest thou me, that I may make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who has devoured all thy living with harlots, thou killest for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Child, thou art ever with me, and all mine are thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, because this thy brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found."
Do you notice this, that he came to his senses, number one, so there's repentance right there, and he goes to God as Father. "I will arise and go to God and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight." So he doesn't go to one of the brothers, he goes right to God. So he came to his own father, but while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, number one. And what's the next thing he did?
He pitied him.
Pitied? What does that mean?
He was tender to him.
Mine says felt compassion.
So he opened his heart to him.
He wasn't angry. He wasn't angry.
This is not anger.
He opened his, he did.
Yeah. When the kid broke, there was no anger. And what's the next thing he did?
He fell upon his neck.
No.
Oh, what?
He ran.
He ran towards him.
It didn't say he moseyed.
He ran towards him.
It didn't say he moseyed. Nope. Or did. He didn't walk fast.
He ran quick.
Isn't that interesting? So it's post haste. It wasn't, "Well, I'll see you tomorrow."
He
I'll
ran
talk to
him.
You tomorrow.
He grabbed a hold of him. He kissed him. All him, him, him.
And you take it that he fell on his neck too and kissed him much. Didn't kiss him a little.
Kissed him much.
And he let him speak. He let the kid speak.
He told him what he was going to tell him.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm going to tell him my father, I've sinned
against
heaven.
I'm not worthy."
Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. He even adds to it. No, that's right. "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as your hired slave." So he says basically exactly what he was going to tell him. And then there's that three-letter word right there in verse 22.
But you caught that too. I was just going to say that. Isn't that funny?
It's not like he goes, "Okay." He goes, "But."
He didn't add to it. He changes direction.
He hasn't said one word to his son yet.
Nope.
He ran, hugged him, kissed him on the neck, and then he spoke to his hired servants.
He let the kid speak.
He said nothing. He let the kid speak, and then he told the servants what to do. He never said a word to him here.
But the kid got to
say everything.
He got to the point, really. I mean, did he really need to say any more?
No.
He was able to look at the heart.
Just a little bit. He said what was needed and made a decision. He's back.
Now, let's see. So the father never said anything. He saw him. He pitied him, ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him much. It never says he said anything yet.
He didn't say a word.
He hasn't said anything yet. It's all action.
Yes.
Four things of his action. And then he lets the kid speak, and then God says, "But," and it's a little different word. I don't know. It might be that other "but." It might be "if" or "but."
His father told his bondman.
Yep. To clothe him. In other words.
So he saw him, pitied him, ran, and kissed him.
And he basically told the kid to stop talking. In other words, you don't have to uncover yourself anymore. Put the robe on him. He said enough. Isn't that interesting? Think about this.
He's already said everything.
You're done. He's already opened himself up. Cover him now. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people can come in and
we've seen that happen.
Forgive.
In a meeting. We've seen that happen to where people start doing that, and we go to them, and literally we've taken our coats and put it around them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very similar thing that's happened.
Yeah. And you don't want people to go too far. They have to clear it with God. You don't need them to tell you, and they've gotten into the church where they want to hear too much junk. And all the person has to do is clear it with God, and you'll know their fruit later on. So this here is an example of this person, the father has done it, God. I guess we have to wait, was been my thought over the years. We have to wait and see the fruit of it, the fruit of his repentance. And we don't inspect it. We just give it a chance. There might be a few slip-ups, but you could see the person. If all of a sudden you're seeing they're really progressing, they're really changed, you have to let God do that final work to finish
the job. So our part of this is to see, pity, fall on the neck as much, and tell people, get the best robe.
Yeah.
Those are our charges there.
Yeah, number one is see.
See, you have to see it.
I changed my mind there.
See, pity.
Run.
Run, like quick.
Yeah, fall on the neck. If it's somebody else's wife or, you know, another woman, be careful.
Oh, and there's a person coming back.
God does this.
Yeah.
But we have to be part of it. Be careful, you know, men with women and so on like that. You don't want to...
get all carried away that
no.
way.
No, it could be an excuse for people that are have other intentions. Enough said on that. Anyway, I'll put a finger ring on his hand. So the best robe, so that's number six. Number seven is put a ring finger on his hand, and that's probably a sonship.
I want to ask you, what would the best robe be?
Robes of?
Yes. So there's what there? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sitting there.
Yeah, love, of course, is the end righteousness, robes mm-hmm. of righteousness.
Right.
Is that what you're thinking of?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And shoes on his feet, that's eight. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry, for this my son was separated, dead, and is revived, was lost, and is found. And they began to make merry. So there was dancing.
Rejoicing.
Dancing, music and dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I could see us not doing that when we're younger, but maybe as we're getting older and getting more, where we should maybe start thinking about this music and dancing. Are you thinking of the same thing?
Well, this is a real activity here that's starting. He's welcoming him into something of rejoicing, where music is and dancing is, and where eating is, where righteousness is. Welcome him back into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that makes you really think, doesn't it?
How many of those did you count?
Nine.
Yeah, nine.
The spiritual, the best robe. And of course, the King of Righteousness is the Holy Spirit. In one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And I wonder if that's the, if that is that baptism again into the, you know, this is person that is in the body of Christ, but is aired, and I think it's brought back into that in one spirit. Not that it's done again, but the Lord knows.
Well, the reason they killed the fatted calf is because he's received him safe and sound.
Yeah.
There's that.
But isn't that really our story when we get baptized and receive the baptism in one spirit into one body? I wonder if this is the story of us, each one of us, when we're brought home.
Now, the older brother, he has a part in this. He gets angry. That was his move. So you're saying perhaps as you go along in the Lord, you need to transfer your activity over towards the father's thinking and get away of the big brother's thinking.
Right. The jealousy. The jealousy.
Or angry.
Yeah. Because you've seen what this person has done all this time, and he's just wasted his life, and here this other person's been faithful all the time.
And you want that when you see him, you want him to be what?
Yeah. Well, it goes—
We want him to be spanked.
But remember the one, didn't we read that about in one of the other parables about the man that hired the servants all day long? We did that.
Yes.
And some came, you know, and worked the full day.
Do you have a problem with my generosity? I love that line.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And this guy comes in and works 1 hour, doesn't work at the heat of the day. It's past the heat of the day.
It's not fair.
And it's just not fair. At all.
The fair comes in August.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you can read the story and identify, a person could read the story and identify how their reactions would be.
Yeah.
I mean, in an honest situation.
Yeah, we're all there. Different people in the fellowship groups. We're all in this and we all have a place either.
But the seeing and pitying and running and kissing on the neck.
Yeah.
And get a robe for them and put a ring on their hand. Kill the fatted calf.
Yeah. Don't go too deep into knowing all the details.
Not too deep. No details.
Well, there was. I've sinned, and he said enough.
Well, that's what I mean, that he said that, but there weren't any details.
No.
He was just a big general statement.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, no details, but the main point, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Okie doke. Chapter 16 of Luke 1 through 13.
I wanted to say one more thing. I noticed how the father treated the older brother that was having a hard time with this. He says, "Child, oh my, you're always with me, and everything that's mine is yours. Isn't it right to make merry and be glad? Your brother was dead, and he's alive, he's lost, and he's found." That was his response.
Yeah.
Doesn't he say anything more about the older brother? Maybe that was enough to go, "Oh yeah, I guess so." Yeah, I was overcooking that one. Yeah. Where are we going to go to?
Yeah, he was kind to both of them. One, two.
He was, 13. Wasn't he? He was kind to both of them. That's good.
Leave it to Dad.
Yep.
Now he was also saying to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a steward, and this steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called for him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' And the steward said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, people will take me into their homes.' And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began to saying to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 baths of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he said, 100 cores of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves from the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will take you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth."
How does that hit you, really, when you think about it?
I found it interesting how this guy, the steward, was basically supposed to bring back an account of what people owe. So then he, instead of giving him nothing, he goes out and gets half of the baths of wheat or the baths of oil, and then 80% of the rest of the wheat, he goes and brings something and not nothing. And he was, says his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly.
He didn't give him his position back as steward.
Right.
And that word, render the account of thy steward, and that's the image, the logon. And what's God interested in? He's not interested really in wheat and all that. He's interested in fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and so on. And he was called wasting his good. He was called steward of unrighteousness. The Lord commended the steward of unrighteousness in this physical act, but he was still a steward of unrighteousness. And he was wasting. So it looked like he really did not have part in the image of Christ.
So he was removed.
He was removed.
Yeah, he was squandering his possessions.
Yeah. Now, he acted shrewdly. The word wisely is what we think of the word being wisely. You know, like by wisdom God founded the earth and by understanding.
It's not that wisdom.
No, it's not. It's a different word. And the sons of this age, for their own generation, are wiser than the sons of light. Here now we're called sons of light. We're sons of God. It talks about us in the Bible. Now we're called sons of light. And there's that that salt and the light together. Make for yourself friends out of mammon of unrighteousness, that when it should fail, they may receive you into eternal tabernacles. Who is faithful in very little is faithful in much. Because there are some things that we have to do that we still have to deal with the world. We cannot. The way I take this, it goes to we can't be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. We're going to do secular jobs. You know, you've got a job to do, Brett. I had a job to do, and you know, a lot of the lovely places I designed subdivisions are kind of messy today. Maybe they were built in the 1970s and built with a lot of pressed wood instead of plywood, and the houses aren't the best, and the neighborhoods aren't the best. Maybe they've gone to ruination, but they sure looked good when I did it, and it didn't mean I was wrong. I still had to live a life on this world like Joseph did in Egypt and so on. And I had to work my secular job with mammon, but I still had to serve the Lord. And this is learning to do both and still doing it honorably.
Like today, for example, showing up today, I had work, came here and did this too. So it's kind of that juggle piece with that. So I still have to do both.
You still have to be make for yourself friends out of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, it's still called unrighteousness. But if therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
It's a character issue.
So this is a character issue. That if we say we're going to do something, we still have to do it. But it doesn't mean we serve it. We just do the absolute best. We can serve in a capacity, but we're not serving mammon. We just happen to be in that realm. And it's not Lord over us.
You know, that steward, he didn't repent.
Yeah.
He went to fix it for himself. He feathered his nest, never told the guy he was sorry, never begged his, I'm sorry, I'm going to do that. No, his first move was, I don't have any strength. I see the eyes. I don't have any strength. I am ashamed. I am resolved. I am put out of my stewardship. Look at those things. I am. All.
And I do.
All of that. He is a proud guy. He doesn't even care that he wasn't good at it.
And
he never said he was sorry.
And it didn't say it was good for him because he was put out of his stewardship.
He was put out of his stewardship, but he never repented. He never said anything about it. Just look at that. When you see the I's and the I am's and the I am's and the I am's, all in one, that's in two lines in here, an I and three I am's. Talk about a proud guy.
Yeah, it's interesting how you, when you pick that up again.
Would you?
I mean, me, there's a me. And he counseled within himself. He did not repent. He didn't. He didn't change his mind. He was done.
And the end result of the last sentence: you can't serve God and mammon, because that man was serving mammon.
And a lot of people in today's day and age serve themselves. That's the sons of this age, but we are the sons of light. and we are to walk in the light, and we have a different mindset. And a lot of people today, they're into themselves, they take counsel within themselves, or they look for somebody maybe on a podcast or whatever, or on the internet who will agree with them. But it's always best to look to the Lord. And Tom and Cheryl have joined us here today, Tom and Cheryl Richardson from Medford, Oregon area, in the mountains actually. And they're going to sing Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, to set your mind on the things above, on God's kingdom. Repent, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Set your mind.
Set your mind.
On the things above.
On the things above. And not on the things that are on the earth.
For you have died.
For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ. With Christ. In God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind.
Set your mind.
On the things above.
On the things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died.
For you have died.
And your life is hidden with Christ.
With Christ.
In God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory, in glory, in glory. Set your mind.
Set your mind.
On the things above.
On the things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died.
For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ.
With Christ.
In God.
It's an amazing thought to set your mind on the things above, because God's new kingdom, he says, we are to change our mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."